It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
Welcome to the program tonight. We're glad that you're with us. This is the Virtual Bible Study for October the 12th, and we're glad you're a part of it. The way you can participate on the program tonight is by calling 931-381-4567, or you can email us at questions@collegeview.com. That email address is working again, so we're glad for that. You can use questions@collegeview.com as a way to get in touch with us tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is here. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, good to be with you tonight. We look forward to our discussion. Appreciate those who are listening, and we encourage your participation. We like to get a lot of feedback from our listeners. If you want to just send us an email and tell us you're out there listening, tell us where you're from and where you learned about the Virtual Bible Study, we'd like to hear that kind of feedback. We want our audience to grow. We hope that you'll listen regularly and tell others about it as well. We get listeners from all over the country who contacted us in various ways to let us know they're listening, and we'd like to hear from you. So send us an email and just tell us you're out there. I think we've got a good topic for discussion tonight, Jacob.
Do have an interesting topic. We want to talk about judging, Dad. We make judgments every day throughout our daily life. We made a judgment about what time to get here tonight. We were running a little bit late. We should have made a judgment to come a little bit earlier. But we make judgments about all kinds of things, Dad. We want to talk about making judgments on the program tonight.
That's right. Making judgments is a normal part of daily living. We have to do it continuously. Some of those things pertain to the physical aspects of life, you know, eating, working, sleeping, and so forth. But the judgments we want to discuss are more important ones. We want to talk about spiritual things. We want to discuss making decisions about the most important aspects of life, and that is our service to God and things relative to that. And actually, Jacob, the Scriptures talk about making judgments. There's a lot of information in the Bible about making judgments.
Lots of information, and we need to be making judgments according to God's will. If we don't make the right judgments, then we'll be held accountable eternally. John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, "Judge not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment." The command is to judge righteous judgment, Dad. If we fail to do that, we'll be held accountable eternally.
I think that's right. And that's the key verse that we sort of want to build our discussion around tonight. If you're listening, make note of John 7, verse 24. Jacob, you referenced the King James Version, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." The New International Version says, and I'm not a big fan of the New International Version in all texts, but in some places it's a little more readable, and sometimes it's interesting to compare the readings. I certainly wouldn't use the NIV as my primary study Bible, but for instance, here in this verse, it makes it pretty simple when it says, "Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment." But however you translate that verse in English, it is clearly a command from the Lord that we have to be making commands. And probably, Jacob, that's the first consideration that we need to point out. It's command. It's not optional. We have to judge, but some people think that we can't, that we're not allowed to, that it's not right to ever judge anybody.
What do you think about judging? Let us know right now, 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. We'd love to hear from you on the program tonight. We need your comments and your participation to make the program what it needs to be. What do you think about judging? You ever heard anyone say, "Judge not"? We're not supposed to be judging. If we make a judgment, say something's right or wrong, you ever heard someone say, "We're not supposed to be judging"? Dad, I think that goes to a misunderstanding of a passage that's misinterpreted when people say that we're not to be judging, and therefore you can't say anyone is right or wrong, you just have to let them be. It's a misunderstanding of a passage that's fundamental to this discussion.
Yeah, we already pointed out that John 7:24 is a real important verse on the subject of making judgments, but a passage that is surely one of the most misused passages in all the New Testament also talks of judging, and it's Matthew 7, verse 1. Matthew 7, verse 1 says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." And people who don't know anything about the Bible at all can typically quote that verse. If they don't know any other Bible verse, they know that verse. And when you try to make a point, when you try to instruct them about spiritual things, especially if you even imply that they're wrong about anything, they will say, "Oh, you judge me. You're not supposed to judge."
Well, those people who don't know the Bible, they've got to be armed with that one defense, because someone uses the Bible against them. They say, "Well, we're not supposed to be judging, so why are you telling me that I'm wrong for doing what I want to do?"
So now, what do we got here? Have we got a contradiction? John 7:24 says, "Judge righteous judgment." Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not, to be not judged." Both of those are quotes from Jesus. Have we got a contradiction? And I think the answer is no. We've got to understand Matthew 7:1 in the context, in its proper context.
Hey, Dad, let's go on the phones, and let's go down to Tallahassee, Florida, and we'll welcome Ray to the program. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the Virtual Bible Study.
Hi.
Good to have you on the program tonight. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one thing that I often touch on in presenting the truth of the Scriptures, is judging, because like you all have already just said, many people will just go to one Scripture, like in Matthew 7, and just stop there in the first verse. But if you read on, it talks about I see you got a little lag in the radio there, but it talks about how.
Yeah, turn that off, Ray. So just talk to us, because that delay is going to kill you.
Yeah, it talks about how we're supposed to be able to judge. Jesus says in John 7:24, I think it is, to not judge according to appearance, but rather judge righteous judgment. And then Paul was in 1 Corinthians 5, he points out how they had a person that was in the church that they should have already judged and put him out of the church. He said, "Put away that wicked man from among you." And then in chapter 6, he says, "Don't you know that we're going to judge angels? And you ought to set the least esteemed in the church to do some judging in the church amongst yourselves." And so I think that it's altogether necessary for us to grow to the place in Christ that we have the same mind and the same judgment that Christ has, and so that we can make correct judgments. I think there's a scripture in Isaiah that says because they had no judgment, it was displeasing to God.
Ray, you make some great points along the lines of judging. What kind of guidelines can we do? How can we do the righteous judgment that we're commanded to do?
Well, just like it's chapter 10:4-5. It says we don't war after the flesh, but we war after the spirit. So we are to cast down, and I would think that would mean opinions. If we cast down our own opinions and put on the mind of Christ, cast down everything that exalts itself over and against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we're willing to do that and say amen to what the Scriptures say and let that be the standard of our judgment rather than what we just feel or what we think individually, then I think we're walking in safe ground.
I think you're exactly right, Ray. You make a lot of good points. We appreciate you listening down there in Tallahassee. How'd you find out about the Virtual Bible Study?
Well, my wife had she had it on the desktop. I don't know where she got it, but I checked out your archives, and I found out that you were Church of Christ. I'm not a church attender myself, but I think that of all the churches that I have checked out, the Church of Christ follows the Scriptures closer to any of them that I have found so far. There's just a few things that I would maybe
What we're trying to do. We're trying to follow the Bible, trying to use it as our sole guide in religious matters. And we appreciate you listening, Ray. Hope you'll keep listening, and hope we can encourage you to make a decision to be regular in serving the Lord, be committed and faithful in serving the Lord. We appreciate you listening. Keep listening down there in Tallahassee.
And Ray, if you do have some issues with us, you think we're wrong on certain areas, let us know. Send us an email, and we can take those up on a future discussion on the Virtual Bible Study.
Okay, well, yeah, I am definitely committed to following the Lord. I'm not wishy-washy in that, and I would encourage you to have that understanding that just because people don't attend a building on a weekly basis doesn't mean they're not committed to Jesus.
All right. Well, we appreciate you listening, Ray, and keep it up. We hope to hear from you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Ray, and thank you for those comments. If you have any comments, let us know. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or you can send us an email. I think we're getting some emails there, Dad. Send those emails to questions@collegeview.com. Let us know your thoughts. What do you think about judging? You ever heard anyone misapply Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, where we read, "Judge not that you be not judged"? Anyone ever misapply that passage when you're talking with them? Or maybe you believe that that passage tells us that we should not judge anyone, that we just need to let people be, and if they're wrong, let them be wrong. Don't judge them. Don't say anything wrong about their activities or their behaviors. Let us know what you think, 931-381-4567, or questions at collegeu.com.
Let's look at that text in Matthew 7 a little more carefully, because I think the text itself explains what's going on there. Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, but he went on to say, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. The kind of judging that Jesus is condemning here is clearly explained in the verses there that we just read. A person who is such a hypocrite, Jesus drew a very almost ridiculous word picture so that it would really make the point. Here's a guy with a beam, a big log, a beam sticking out of his eye, and yet he's trying to pick a speck of dust or dirt out of another person's eye. Well, that's just ridiculous to even try to picture that. He says, get the beam out of your own eye, take care of your own problem, and then don't ignore the speck in your brother's eye, but after you've taken care of your own problem, then you'll be able to help your brother get the speck out of his eye. And so Jesus, the context of those verses suggests judging will take place, but he's saying take care of your own issues first and stop this hypocritical and hypercritical kind of judging that is all too often the norm among men. But the very context of Matthew 7:1, if you read on through verse 5, it's clear that it does not preclude all judging. What it precludes is any kind of hypocritical or hypercritical judging that sometimes takes place.
We have a few issues here with our encoding, Dad, but let's keep it going, and I think we'll come back up now. We're up again. Let's go to the phones, Dad, and let's go up to near your hometown, I think, Orleans, Indiana, and Mike is on the phone. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the Virtual Bible Study.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate all you guys that are doing. I really appreciate the program. I was told about the program from a friend of mine, if you're curious. So another fellow that's a member of the church, and he turned me on to it. This is the first night that I've had time to get away and listen to it live, but I do appreciate the program anyway. I've listened to it on the archives many times.
Thank you, Mike. Mike, are you a member of the Church of Christ?
I'm a preacher for the church here in Orleans, Indiana.
Great. Good, yep. Good to have you, Mike.
I appreciate the comments that you just made, mentioned just a moment ago, because you were talking about the plank in the brother's eye, and that's also paralleled in Luke, the 6th chapter, and right after that was the comment that I was going to make, and that was regarding to the looking down in Luke chapter 6, verse 43, it says, a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For men gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. And I think what this is telling us here is that we're not to be the judge. We're not those people who say that we're not to go around judging other people. I think everybody can sleep well tonight knowing that I'm not going to be the person who judges someone and decides whether or not they ultimately land in heaven or hell. But I do have to make a judgment. I do make a judgment to determine between right and wrong. And this verse tells me very clearly that I can tell that by looking at the type of fruit that they're producing in their life. I mean, the rest of the Bible gives us very clear instruction all the way through it to determine whether a person is taking part in sin or whether they're not. And in fact, those who would say that we can't use the Bible that way need to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect through every furnished unto all good works. That tells us that we can use the Scripture in order to make a determination between right and wrong. And so when we look at men's fruits, the things that they do in their life, we can certainly tell the difference whether they're doing things that are right or wrong, and we can make a judgment in that aspect.
I think you're exactly right, Mike. In Matthew 7 there, as that context rolls on, it starts with verse 1, judge not to be not judged. Then it explains the kind of judging that's being under consideration, the kind of hypocritical judging of a man with a beam in his eye trying to help a man get the speck out of his eye. But later in that chapter, it clearly says in verses 15 through 20 to beware of false prophets.
prophets. And verse 15, verse 20 says, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Sure.
So we have to watch out for false prophets, and we'll be able to tell them by viewing their fruits and making a judgment. So everything in Matthew 7 suggests that you got to make judgments, and there's just no way to understand the first verse of that chapter without taking the whole context in it together.
And guys, let me call your attention to this, though, and Mike, I think you'd agree. When we talk about what a verse doesn't teach, you know, a lot of people take a verse and they misapply it, and we are very stern to say, no, that's not what the verse teaches. It's easy to overlook what the verse is actually teaching. And Mike, maybe judging has a bad reputation because there are some people who don't make righteous judgment. They have that beam in their eye, and they're trying to get the speck out of the other person's eye.
Well, sure. I think the world shows us, that there are numerous people throughout the world that even religious leaders today that are hypocritical, and they pervert scripture and they twist it to their own ill-gotten gain. The world's just full of all that kind of stuff. And a person doesn't need to be a Christian or a member of the church to be able to spot when error or hypocrisy exists. And unfortunately, that gives the Lord's church a bad name when there are people like that, because people who don't understand the truth, they tend to group us all into one great big group with all the other Protestant or Catholic groups, and they say, well, you're all just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, we all need to stand or fall based on our own merit.
Well, you know, Mike, it's been pointed out before, but I think it's such an irony. The people who say you are wrong to judge are actually making a judgment, you know. They're judging us to be wrong about judging.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of an irony that they're doing what they complain that we're not supposed to do.
Well, and I someone out there that might be listening, they can call in or email and see if they disagree with me on this. But I cannot picture in my life how a person could live their life never having made a judgment on anything.
Impossible.
It's just not possible.
That's
at all.
Right. It'd be impossible.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, we're really glad you're listening up there in Orleans.
Well,
spread the word.
I will, and God bless you, brother, and I appreciate the program.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, good night.
The number to call is 931-381-4567. Line's open now. Give us a call or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. We're overdue for a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
After these important messages, we'll be back to take your comments. Email them during this break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hello, my name is Preston Jackson. I'm from Valdosta, Georgia, and I want to hear your comments. So if you have one, call 931-381-4567 or email your questions at questions@collegeview.com.
Missed a recent virtual Bible study program? Listen to any of our past programs from the archive section of our website. Now, back to the virtual Bible study.
And welcome back. We're glad that you're with us on the virtual Bible study tonight. We had one hiccup on our encoding. If the audio stops on your computer at home tonight, just hit the play button again and continue to hit it, and we'll be back up shortly. So if you're having problems with our audio, just hit the play button. A little bit flaky tonight maybe, but hopefully we won't have any more problems. We're talking about judging, if you're just joining us tonight. Talking about judging and the fact that we have been commanded to make righteous judgments. Some people in the religious world would tell us that we should not be judging, that we should not say that someone is wrong if they're doing something that we disagree with. It is wrong to judge.
We got an email coming in, and Orville has emailed in and says, amen. Matthew 7 is full of judgments we must make. Just as you said, beware of false prophets. But two, Jesus is telling a hypocrite not to judge before he gets the beam out.
Yes, the hypocrite often judges while simultaneously whining, judge not. And I think that's exactly right. We appreciate that.
That comment. That is an irony that is obvious. That's amazing that someone would do that. Many people in the religious world, though, are telling us we should not be judging. What do you think? Let us know, 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. This is a listener participation program. Have a lot of participation so far tonight, Dad. Want to keep that up, and we need our listeners to participate in the study tonight.
Let's look at another place in the teaching of Jesus where it was clear that he insisted that a judgment would have to be made. Look at Matthew 18, beginning verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall not, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now, those are the words of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is clearly indicating that we'll have to make a judgment. I'd have to judge, first of all, that my brother has trespassed against me. I have to say, he's done me wrong. I'm making the judgment that he has wronged me. And I'm going to go to him. Then he won't hear me. I'm going to judge that he has not repented. He has not made it right. So I'm going to take two or three others with me to discuss the matter with him. They are then going to judge whether the fellow has responded accurately or not. If he has not, he'll be put before the whole church, and the whole church will have to make a judgment as to whether he has properly repented of the matter. And so in all of that, there are judgments that have to be made. And that's the point we're really stressing here. Judgments must be made. Judge righteous judgment. John 7:24, our key verse there, Jacob, clearly insists that it must be so.
Well, another passage that's already been mentioned, but let's talk about it one more time quickly before we go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, we're commanded to judge again. In that passage, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 7, dare any of you, having a matter against another, to go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you. No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Dad, that passage tells us to make some judgments, that we're going to be responsible for making judgments. Christians need to be able to make those righteous judgments that we've been commanded to make.
Here even that Paul suggests that judgments will have to be made, and that certain ones in the church should be set up to make judgments when there are issues between brethren. So, again, our first caller, Ray, I think, mentioned this text in which it suggests, again, judgments have to be made. So our first point in the discussion, and a lot of people have joined in to agree, that judging is a necessary thing. It has to happen. Now, if we didn't get any other point out in our study tonight, that'd be the key point to make. You know, judgments are necessary, and anybody who says otherwise is just wrong and doesn't understand what the Bible teaches. Now, we would agree, Jacob, that there's a wrong way. There are several wrong ways, probably, to make judgments. Back to John 7:24, judge not according to appearance. So that statement of Jesus implies that you could judge by appearances, and you'd be wrong to do that. Do not make judgments by appearances. You know, we have the saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Well, how do you judge the book then? Well, you have to judge the book by what's in it, of course. You have to read it. You have to study it. You have to take the time and effort to learn what's in it. If you're going to judge the book, you got to read it before you can make the judgment. You have to be informed and knowledgeable. The same thing is true about the kind of judgments that we must make as Christians. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment implies that we have to take the time and put forth the effort to judge properly. Okay, so judge not according to appearances would indicate we got to be careful about not doing it the wrong way.
Well, that's right. And you have an interesting passage here, Dad. Matthew 7:15-20, beware of false prophets which shall come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And the passage goes on to judge their fruits. You know, you made an interesting point here. When I saw that, I thought this is sort of ironic. We usually talk about judging by fruits, saying don't say something's bad when it just the way it looks. Don't say someone who is evil just because of the way they look. We also have to be careful not to say someone's good just because of the way they look. And I thought that was interesting.
If you were to judge by appearances there of those false prophets in Matthew 7:15, they would seem good. They look like sheep. They're in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. And so you have to look inwardly. And again, that's going to take time and effort, and their fruits will ultimately reveal them. So we got to be careful to make our judgments properly. Don't do it the wrong way. I tell you, one of the wrong ways, Jacob, that we could make judgments is by acting upon rumor or gossip. I guess that's been a perennial problem among human people, because the Bible talks about that a lot.
Certainly, and we often say it's a problem limited to females, and it is not. And males have that problem as well, Dad. We all need to be reminded that gossip is wrong. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, those in the Old Testament were told, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people." The people in the Old Testament, to the Jews in the old times, were told not to be gossip, not to be talebearers. They needed to be on guard against that. Proverbs 20, verse 19, "He that goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." Stern warnings there against gossip in the Old Testament.
Pretty plain. In the New Testament, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, 2 Corinthians 12:20, "I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there may be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances." Paul was afraid when he came to Corinth he would find that there were gossips there. Now, the problem with that is when people spread rumor and gossip and innuendo, then people will form judgments based upon that. And we got to be really careful about it. Don't associate with a gossip, we're warned there, where you read in Proverbs, Jacob. Because as that gossip is spread, unavoidably it causes people to form judgments that they ought not to be forming. So don't form your judgments on the basis of rumor or gossip. That would be a wrong way to judge.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some more ways that we should not judge, and we want to talk a little bit on ways that we should. We want to hear your thoughts, though. The number to call is 931-381-4567. Let us know what you think on the phones tonight, and let us know what you think over email. Send your emails to questions@collegeview.com. We hope you stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Hi, my name is Mike Smith, and I'm a member of the College of Church of Christ on Hampshire Pike. Let me ask you some questions. Do you remember when churches insisted on Bible authority for everything they did? Can you recall when church members always expected a "Thus saith the Lord"? Can you remember when the church was well known for its book, chapter, and verse style of teaching and preaching? Are you upset because the church you're attending doesn't always approach things this way anymore? Does it concern you that elders and preachers don't seem to care about Bible authority at all? We're still trying to do everything according to the New Testament pattern. If you're looking for a church like the one you remember from the past, please visit us soon at the College of Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Hunter. I'm 11 years old, and I love listening to the virtual Bible study.
Broadcasting around the world with truth that are out of this world. The Virtual Bible Study. Take it away, guys.
And welcome back to the Virtual Bible Study tonight. We're glad that you're with us. We're glad that you're taking time out of your Thursday night to be a part of the program, to study the Bible with us. This is just a Bible study, and we get a group together over the internet to talk about the Bible, and we want to take your comments at 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. I want to remind you, this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. If you're in the Columbia, Tennessee area, you're welcome to come and visit with us at your earliest opportunity. We'd love to have you visit with the College View Church of Christ. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30, and then for a period of Bible study with classes for all ages, followed by a period of worship at 10:30, and then at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. Come and worship with us at the College View Church of Christ. We're talking about judging on the program tonight, and we want to know what you think about judging. Should we be judging? Should we be in the business of judging? What are your thoughts? Dad, it is important. We've been instructed to make righteous judgments. We need to know how to do that so that we can be pleasing to God.
Exactly right. I think we got a phone call coming in, Jake.
We do. Let's go back down to Tallahassee and welcome Ray back to the virtual Bible study. Hello, Ray.
Hey, yeah, I'd like to just make some more comments on judging. There are so many judgments being made today by those that many times are also saying don't judge. for instance, this judgment that is very common and prevalent in the churches today, where we're being told that the Jews are God's chosen people. Well, if this is the case, then Jesus must not have known what he was talking about, because in John 8, he spoke to the Jews, and he manifested who they were. He said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. And he wasn't just talking about all Jews, but these specific ones had conspired to kill him, and he knew what was in man. So it was his duty to, put this back at them. Look, I know who you are. You're Abraham's seed, but you people want to kill me. And because of this, your real father is the devil, and you're not of God because you don't hear the word of God.
That was a pretty harsh judgment to make, wasn't it?
To call them
a child of the devil. You know, some people would have us right to be, I don't know, this sounds funny to say it this way, but I think some people want us to be better than Jesus in their opinion. Jesus made harsh judgments and condemned people when they were in error, and people are saying we shouldn't do that, and by implication they're saying Jesus probably shouldn't have done it either.
Well, yeah, you know, I had sent you an email a little earlier suggesting that you could maybe open up a thing like this on Tao Talk where we could easily make comments or, you know, raise our hands and ask questions. It's really an orderly way that they have it. They're much better than Yahoo.
Well, we might check that out.
Check that out, Orville, or Ray. Appreciate you making that comment. Another thing we've thought about is Skype. I don't know. We'll have to look into that as well. So maybe some ways that we can participate on the Internet.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get back to this a little bit more about what the fact is this. We, the church, are God's chosen people, and to teach any other doctrine than that is to teach another gospel, isn't it? And isn't that an unrighteous judgment to say that there's a certain race of people that are God's chosen people regardless of their unbelief in Christ?
Well, that would be right. I mean, if you make a judgment that's not it could be about the idea of the Jews as God's chosen people or anything, you make a judgment that's not founded on the truth of the Scriptures, then that's not a righteous judgment. It can't be by definition.
Right.
Right. You're exactly right, Ray.
It seems, too, that this very judgment is the reason that we've got people like John Hagee down here in Texas calling for World War III and supporting a man who's gone to war based on something that's not proven to be true. You know, they didn't prove that Osama bin Laden had anything to do with this war. And they went to war based on this understanding, and now the FBI is not even looking for Osama. But you see what I'm saying is that this judgment that the Jews are God's chosen people, people are willing to get behind a war to do what the Jews would like for them to do because they made this judgment. I think this is the bottom line behind a lot of things.
I think that you're probably right. I think it's a number of political considerations are based upon a mistaken idea of the Jews as God's favored people and having some special part to play in a millennial kingdom that's to be set up in the future. We've talked about premillennialism in the past. You might look, Ray, on the archives, and it's a really important subject, and as you say, many people are way off on that. And when they make those judgments, they are not making righteous judgments because they're not basing it upon the truth of God's word. I think you make a good point there. Appreciate you calling in again, Ray.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, the line is open now, 931-381-4567. Or you can send us an email at any time to questions@collegeview.com. Dad, we're talking about judgment and how to make judgments. Righteous judgments is our command. We must be making righteous judgments. We've talked about the fact that we don't want to judge according to appearance. We don't want to judge based on rumor or gossip. A lot of other things, a lot of other considerations, Dad, that we need to, things that we need to avoid as we make judgments.
Yeah, I think that's right. One thing is that when we make our judgments, we have to put our personal friendships and prejudices aside. You know, it's interesting to notice that Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians about the divisions that were there, 1 Corinthians 1, beginning verse 11, it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I have Apollos, I have Cephas, and so forth. Paul was condemning them, but notice in the condemning of them, he was condemning his own friends. Some of his friends there in Corinth were saying, I'm of Paul. Paul said, don't do that. So he was actually telling his own friends, the people who were devoted and loyal to him, he's saying, I do not want you doing that. So he would judge righteous judgment even to the point of rebuking those who were his
friends and his allies. And that's what we have to do. We have to make a righteous judgment. We have to put our personal friendships and personal opinions and preferences and prejudices and everything else to the side.
Those things get in the way of making the righteous judgment we've been commanded to do. You know, Paul did that again in Galatians chapter 2. Barnabas needed to be rebuked there. Barnabas needed to be judged because he was in error. And Paul was willing to make that judgment in Corinthians chapter 2.
By all indication, at that time, Paul and Barnabas were the very closest of friends and co-workers. But when Barnabas was wrong, carried away with the hypocrisy of Peter in Antioch, Paul rebuked them all. So he didn't allow his personal friendships to keep him from making the righteous judgments that need to be made.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people, no doubt, a lot of religious people would just have overlooked that. So, well, I know Barnabas. He's a good man. We've done a lot of good things in the past. I'm going to overlook that error, that mistake that he's made. We can't do that. That's not righteous judgment.
Yeah. Another thing that would make an unrighteous judgment is if you jump to conclusions without getting all the facts. Some people do that. I think there's plenty of evidence that people, even a lot of people who call themselves Christians, are prone to make judgments before they get all the necessary information. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 13, it says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." And so it would be an unrighteous judgment, Jacob, to try to make a judgment without getting all the facts, without being properly informed. It would be a mistake.
Exactly. Look at John chapter 7, verse 43 beginning, an incident from the life of Jesus. "So there was division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, know what he doth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." We see there, Dad, that Nicodemus made the correct conclusion that in that time you had to hear a man before you could judge him. And that was their understanding then, Dad, and that needs to be our understanding as well. We need to hear the matter before we judge it. Don't jump to conclusions.
That's right. And then we might make one more point there, Jacob, about wrong ways to make judgments. That is, you got to be careful about whose testimony you receive. And there's a couple of good warnings in the Bible. Be careful about taking a witness or testimony in a matter. In other words, make sure you're getting the right story. We already read Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, and there Jesus said it might be necessary to take two or three that every word could be established. 1 Timothy 5, verses 19 through 20, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin rebuke before all." You know, be careful about evidence gathering. Make sure you're getting reliable information, and typically, you know, don't act upon a he said she said kind of a scenario. Make sure that the information that you are acting upon to make your judgment is proper information, accurate information, coming from reliable source and so forth. Be careful in where you gather your information from in making these judgments.
I'm sure we've all made that mistake in the past, Dad. We've jumped to conclusions, or we've gotten wrong information. We've received information from someone that was wrong, and we made a mess of things when we did that. We've got to be careful about that. So those are some ways that we've got to be careful. Maybe you have some other comments that you'd like to add on some things that we need to avoid as we make judgments. We want to hear from you on the program tonight, 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com.
Jay, we've got an email from Patrick, and he says, "I just wanted to say that I really appreciate this show. I've never known how to respond when someone says, you shouldn't judge me. I'm finding this really helpful, especially since usually people who say don't judge me are well aware that they're doing wrong, and don't judge me is just a confusion tactic to deflect attention from themselves." I think that's exactly right. I see that happening all the time. And again, people who fall back to that argument, judge not that you be not judged, you know, when they want to quote Matthew 7, verse 1, probably the only verse they know in the whole Bible sometimes, that is just trying to deflect attention from themselves. I think Patrick's right. And he mentions how he learned about the show here, Jacob. He says, wanted you to know how we found out about the show. I found out from a friend, John Martinoni.
Martinoni.
John was on the program with us.
Right.
John is a Catholic apologist, and he joined us on the program a couple months ago. And so this fellow found out from him. And he says, though we disagree on some important issues, for the most part, we agree on issues of morality. And I definitely appreciate the shows that deal with things like tonight's topic. Well, you know, we don't make it a prerequisite that you have to agree with us before you listen. In fact, if you disagree, we especially like you to be listening. And
that's why we have the show. If everybody agreed with us, there'd be no reason to talk about it.
That's right.
We study because we want to.
We want to learn the truth. We want to learn the truth. We want to come to an agreement. And so, Patrick, we're glad that you're listening. And please email or call us anytime. We'd be glad to hear. And if you disagree on a topic, be glad to hear from you on that as well. Thanks for listening out there, Patrick.
Well, Dad, let's take a break, and when we come back, we can take it to all the way to the top of the hour, and we can talk about some things that we need to consider so that we can make righteous judgments. We want to hear from you. 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeu.com. Stay tuned. There's more to go right after this.
Are you listening? There's going to be a test on this stuff. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
Hello. Hey, Matt. No, I don't have any plans for Friday night. What are you doing? Oh, I won't be able to go with you to watch that movie. Because, Matt, the movie is rated R. Hey, why don't you just come over and hang out at my house Friday night? Great, I'll see you there.
Being pleasing to God means that you may have to be different than the crowd, but don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. You just might find it is easier than what you expect. A message brought to you by College U Church of Christ.
I'm Troy Smith, and now I'm 13 years old.
I'm Mike Smith. I'm Troy's dad, and we love to listen to the virtual Bible study every Thursday night.
Share your comment with the world. Call in now and be a part of the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
And we're back. We hope that you're enjoying the program tonight. Hope that our discussion has been beneficial to you. We're talking about judging, and we're talking about the fact that God has commanded us to judge in spite of what some people in the religious world today and some people in the world are saying, that we should not be judging, that we shouldn't be saying that people are right or wrong, that we should just let people be and go about our business without saying anything to those we may disagree with. The Bible has commanded us to make righteous judgments, Dad, and so we need to know how to do that so that we can be fulfilling the commandment that Jesus gave us.
Yeah, judge righteous judgments. We've already talked about some of the mistakes that a person might make, but what are some of the necessary things, the right ways to make a judgment? Well, we've already said from that familiar text in Matthew 7 that you got to judge yourself first. In other words, don't be out judging others without making sure of where you stand yourself. Judge yourself first. Allow enough time to really put forth the effort to find out the facts of a matter before making a decision. A right attitude is clearly important. If we're going to make a righteous judgment, we have to have a right attitude. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Well, that verse is another verse. There's just so many of them like that, Jacob. That verse implies that I've got to make a judgment. I've got to make a judgment that my brother has become overtaken in a fault. That implies I've got to judge that, right? Then I've got to go to him to restore him, but I've got to be careful about my attitude. I need to go in a spirit of meekness, considering that I can also be tempted. In other words, I've got to go realizing that I'm also a mortal human being subject to temptation and sin. I've got to keep aware of that. I can't go to him with a holier-than-thou attitude. I'm better than you, and, you know, cast off on him with a negative attitude. I got to have a right attitude. That passage is teaching judging, but judge it with a right attitude.
You know, there's a lot of ways that we can be tempted when a brother is overcome in a fault. We can be tempted to be overcome with the same fault that they've been overcome by. But another way that we can be tempted, Dad, as you mentioned, is that we can have a wrong attitude. And I'm afraid that many people, Dad, have a wrong attitude. They judge because they don't have the love for someone that they should have. They feel like they're better than others, and therefore they judge to find the fault so that they can prove that they're on a higher spiritual plane than the person they're judging.
So we're saying that to make a righteous judgment, it's going to require certainly a good measure of humility, that have a humble heart if you're going to make this judgment, and if it's going to be effective. Another thing that we got to have is a right motive. Notice what James said in James 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So, again, another verse that suggests you got to make some judgments. You got to make some determinations. Here's a brother that has erred from the truth, and I need to go to him and convert him. Well, I've got to make the decision that he's erred from the truth. If I can't judge anybody, how could I ever say, well, that brother's erred from the truth, and I need to go and try to restore him or convert him? It clearly indicates I got to make a judgment. But notice the reason why I would go to him, not out of revenge, not out of some kind of weird sense of personal gratification where I get to say, ha-ha, I found you, you made a mistake. But instead, I go to him to save a soul from death. That ought to be my motivation in making this judgment. If I'm not interested in that, then I might as well just forget about even approaching the man. If I'm not interested in his soul, restoring his soul, bringing him back from a lost condition, then there's no reason to even be involved in the situation. So having a right motive is very important there.
We're talking about serious things here. We should judge because a soul is at stake. But, Dad, a lot of times, though, people judge because they have some kind of problem with that person. They are looking for a fault. They want to find an error in that person's life, and so they have the wrong motive. And we need to understand, Dad, that when we're judging so that we can help that person overcome the fault that's in their life.
Yeah, a long time ago, I heard a guy who was described this way. He had a bad attitude, and you had to wonder about his motives at the very least. The guy was described as, he's always right, but you wish he wasn't, which is kind of a funny statement. But that was because he had this bad attitude, and it seemed like he was right, but only so that he could put other people down. And that's the wrong motive.
What do you think? 931-381-4567 is the number to call. Questions@collegeview.com is the email address to use. Still plenty of time to take your comments tonight.
I wonder if any of our listeners have had experience and maybe can share their approach in dealing with people. One of our emailers, Patrick, said, you know, he never really knew how to answer people when they said, you don't judge me. How have you approached that? What technique have you used when someone says you're trying to help them, trying to point out something that's wrong, and they say, judge not that you be not judged? You know, if you've got an approach to use in dealing with that, we'd like to hear from you. I tell you something else, Jacob, that's clearly a part of making righteous judgments, and that is using the right standard.
Exactly. There's only one standard that we can use, Dad. We use sometimes some standards that aren't right, but the only standard we can use is the Bible. John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day, Dad. That is the standard that we must use. Any other standard is wrong. And we will not be making righteous judgments if we're using a standard other than the Word of God.
Yeah, in Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice, the Word of God is capable of discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, use the Word of God as the standard in making these judgments. We can't use our own opinions or prejudices, as we talked about earlier. If I'm to judge a person is wrong, then I've got to do it because there's a difference between what the Bible says and what he's doing, not because there's some difference between what I think and what he's doing.
A lot of people, though, are guilty of that. They make judgments because they think that should be wrong, or it's not what they like, or it's not what they're used to. Therefore, they conclude that it is wrong. Can't do that. The only standard that we can use is the standard of God's Word. It is the standard that is going to judge us, and it is the standard that we should use to judge others. How can we know if something is right or wrong if we don't go to that absolute standard of God's Word that tells us what is right and what is wrong? The number to call, 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. It's still a little time to go on the program tonight. What are some ways that you can use to make righteous judgments? What are some things to remember as you make judgments so that you can be pleasing to God in making those righteous judgments, Dad?
One other thing that we got to be careful about in making the right kind of judgments is that you got to be willing to submit to the same standard and to the same kind of judgment. In other words, I guess what I'm saying here, Jacob, you can't judge a righteous judgment if you're unwilling for others to judge you the same way that you're judging them. You can't have a double standard. In other words, I can't expect more of others than I'm willing to live up to myself. And unfortunately, a lot of people do that from time to time. They have this double standard kind of thing. They don't do something, but they think others should be doing it. And in Romans chapter 2, Paul talked about the Jews, and they were guilty of this. And notice what he said, "Thou art inexcusable, O man." So this is an inexcusable thing. "Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" In other words, those Jews were, again, we used the word earlier, hypocrite. They were hypocritical in their judgment. And here they were condemning others for doing the same things that they were doing themselves. And so if you're going to make a righteous judgment, you can't do it that way. You've got to be willing to submit to the same standard that you're applying to others.
Well, that's what Jesus tells us. He tells us that we're going to be judged by that standard that we're judged by. Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, you shall be measured to you again." And so we see that Jesus tells us that we are going to be judged by that standard that we judge others by, and therefore we must be willing to submit to that judgment, as we see there in Romans chapter 2. Dad, let me throw one on you here as we talk about judging in the last few minutes of the program. You know, we talked at the beginning of the program how people use Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 wrong, and they'll say that we shouldn't judge, and that obviously is a misinterpretation. But some people will go on later in that passage where it tells us to get the mote out or the beam out of our eye before we work on the speck in our brother's eye. And a lot of people will refrain from judging, will refrain from saying something is right or wrong, because they make the claim that I'm not perfect myself. You ever heard that? Someone says, "Well, I'm not going to judge them because I'm not perfect." And therefore, they don't make any judgments. They don't say that something is wrong when it absolutely is, and it needs to be called out as being wrong, because they say, "Well, I'm not perfect, therefore I'm not going to be in the business of judging."
Well, if that was the case, then no one could ever judge, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23. So all have sinned, with the exception of Jesus. Therefore, if the fact that you are not perfect keeps you from making any judgment about others, then no one could ever judge. But we've just looked at a host of passages tonight, Jacob, that tell us that we have to judge. And so that's a faulty argument, and that's a mistaken position. Of course we're fallible. We understand that we're not perfect. But the commands to make righteous judgment are still there. So anybody says, "I'm not going to judge because I'm not a perfect person either," that's a cop-out.
Well, then how do we harmonize that explanation with the command here to get the beam out of our eye before we work on the mote in our brother's eye?
Well, that's saying that you're not perfect. Take care of your imperfections. Address your own issues first.
So what this is saying is these people were overlooking their issues, their problems, and they were focusing on the problems of others. They were hypocritical.
Yeah.
It says there that Jesus calls them a hypocrite because they were overlooking their problems to address the others. We can't do that. So, Dad, the way that we make the righteous judgment is to work on our problems, and then as we do that, we can also help others to work on theirs. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We've got an email coming in, Jacob, from Michael in Orleans. He called in earlier, and he's got an email for us here. He says, "James 2:12 tells us that we will be judged by, therefore, the same standard that we should use to judge. James 2:12 says, 'So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty.' Revelation also tells us we will be judged according to what we do in our lives, our obedience. Revelation 20:13, 'The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works.'" So we're going to be, in other words, if you don't judge, if you're saying, "I'm not going to judge," that's not going to keep you from being judged. And we're all going to be judged by the Word of God. That's the standard that we have to apply and do it honestly and righteously.
Absolutely. Well, Dad, we've had a good discussion about judging. It's a very important subject, a very important topic, because we have been commanded, as we noted, we've been commanded by God, by Jesus, to make righteous judgments. And so we need to be in the business of judging. Contrary to what many people will say, we need to be in the business of judging, but those judgments must be righteous judgments following the standards and the guidelines that we set forth tonight.
That's exactly right. We appreciate everybody who participated in our study tonight. We got an email from Tanya out in Oklahoma City, and she thanks us for the program and tells us how she hooked up and is listening to the program whenever she's able to do so. We're glad for that. Glad you're out there, Tanya, listening in Oklahoma City. Keep it up and tell others. And we hope all our listeners will do the same. We're trying to build an audience by word of mouth. And so tell others that the program is there, and join us on Thursday nights for the virtual Bible study.
You know, Dad, we made an offer to Ray, and that offer is good for any of our listeners. If any of our listeners have questions, maybe they might disagree with something that we teach on the program or some position that we hold. If any of our listeners have anything that they'd like to talk with us in more detail, we're open to that, Dad. We can talk in private. We can talk over the phone, over the email. We can even talk in person, study the Bible to come to a better understanding of God's will for us. We may even could devote a whole virtual Bible study to any of your questions or any of your objections you might have with us.
That's right. If you think there's a topic that would be of particular interest and you'd like to see it dealt with on a future edition of the virtual Bible study, send us an email. That email address, questions@collegeview.com, that has been down for a while, but it's back up. You can email us there at any time, and we'd be glad to hear from any of our listeners.
Dad, we're just trying to study the Bible to learn what God would have from us in our lives. We're trying to shed ourselves of any preconceived notions. We just want to be pleasing to God, Dad. That's our only agenda. We have no hidden agenda, just to be pleasing to God. We're not following any creed. We're just studying the Bible. We're opening it up to find out what God wants from us. And so we're open to, if anyone thinks that that we're wrong, or if anyone would like to discuss anything that we teach with us in more detail, we're open to that. Contact us anytime. Send us questions at collegeview.com or call us at 931-381-4567. Call us anytime. We'd love to hear from you.
As we sometimes say, Jay, if you disagree with us, we'll move you to the head of the line. We'll try to deal with your disagreement first. So by all means, be in touch. And thanks for listening tonight. And Lord willing, we'll look forward to being with you next Thursday night on the Virtual Bible Study.
Be back here next Thursday night for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.